Welcome to the Wall of Sound podcast. My name is Brownie.
My name's Ricky.
My name's Adam.
And we are hanging out right now at Cult Fest in Brisbane. The massive festival has made its way up from Melbourne to Brisbane in the Sunshine State, and we're going to catch up with a plethora of acts from the lineup.
1056.
Diamond Construct.
Vilify. And of course,
Alpha Wolf, the headliners and curators of this massive festival.
Stick around. We'll let you know what happened throughout the day. Guys, it's been a great day up here in Brisbane, though. Inside, everyone's getting out and about moshing. Who's been your highlights on stage, do you reckon?
Diamond Construct, for sure. Those guys are coming up pretty quick. They're signing to the Power Chord overseas really signifies something special coming out of Australia. So to be able to watch them as they're coming up, it was really cool.
And then you got to sit down with the guys too.
Yeah, so yeah, I was able to discuss that signing with Power Chord, how they're flying the flag for Australia overseas now, as well as their upcoming album, which is sure to turn some heads.
Sweet, well, let's get into it.
What's up? I'm Adam from Wall of Sound. I'm hanging out backstage at Cult Fest 2024 in Brisbane with the one and only Kynan from Diamond Construct. How you doing, man?
I'm good, man. I'm good. I'm feeling better now that I'm in the aircon with you. So
yeah, man, awesome. I'm hot and sweaty myself, so I know what you feel like. But what's it feel like to be here, man?
It's great. Overnight drive from Sydney, so that was a bit crazy. No sleep, but we're always raring to go and ready as soon as we're getting ready to get on stage, so it feels great.
We got some massive names on this lineup. We got Alpha Wolf, Crossfaith, Amua, 1056, just to name a few.
Yeah.
I mean, what's it like to see, look at that poster and see Diamond Construct amongst those names?
It's huge. I mean, you can only really dream of that when you're a kid, right? Mm. And I mean, we're lucky enough to be on tour with Amua right now, and this is the last show of that, obviously, so that's been crazy.
Wow.
So, yeah.
Recently kind of signed up to Power Chord Records. You know, we got Thousand Below, Spirit Box, Harper, Diamond Construct.
Yeah.
Like, how does that sound?
It's really cool because I think we're the, correct me if I'm wrong, you might know this, but I think we're the first Australian band on their label. Mm-hmm. So that feels really, really good. Jason, the guy who owns Power Chord, is such a legend. And he's putting in a lot of effort, and it's good because now we can get pushed in the US and stuff, and that's always been a dream and a goal of ours.
Yeah, it's another example of the Australian flag being flown across over the ocean, you know what I mean?
Absolutely, so, man.
No, it's great, man. You know, you've got this new album coming out, Angel Killer Zero. I mean, talk to me a bit about that, man.
Yeah, sweet. So we've been writing it for 3 years or so, a really long writing process. You know, in this day and age, I guess, like, the whole singles kind of economy is running at the moment, and everyone's, you know, doing... It's kind of like fast food with music, almost, and we just don't vibe with that. So we're getting in, doing big albums or big projects, and, yeah, it feels great to finally get a big release out because our last song was Hit It Back, obviously, and before that. I feel like this is probably our best stuff yet.
Yeah, so your self-titled debut was really kind of heavy. You focused a lot on the breakdowns, which we all obviously love and adore. Yep. Whereas the EP that followed was really kind of experimental with the EDM crossovers and stuff.
Yeah.
What sort of direction is this going to go in?
It's a little bit of a blend of both because obviously we have fans of both releases equally, and we didn't want to go in a direction that, you know, someone wouldn't like, but at the same time we want to be true to ourselves, you know. And I feel like this is the most Diamond Construct record that we've done because it kind of blends everything that we've done together in a little package that our fans can like, which is good.
And is that kind of setting yourself up for future releases where, you know, you see yourself taking the band?
100%. I feel like this is finally now we're gaining a sound and a little bit of momentum where people are kind of like, yeah, DC have got their own sound now. We're starting to see them come up to the shows and saying that to us, which makes us feel good about the stuff we're writing. And in the future, I guess we just make progressions of that.
Yeah, absolutely, man. You've worked a lot with Ten of Swords.
Yep, Colin Jeffs.
Colin Jeffs, yeah. Yep. He's a mastermind of what he does.
Yeah, yeah.
Talk a little bit about that relationship. I believe it started with Hit It Back.
Long time ago.
Really?
Yeah. Well, he was here today. He was doing the crazy 360 cam in the mosh and everything. He's just a really good friend of mine, man. Honestly, the first music video we worked on was Submerged on the self-titled album. I don't think he was director of photography for that one, but he was on set and he was working. I think he was just starting to do music videos. And after that, we kind of like knew he was a good dude. He worked really hard and... I think we're up to our 9th or 10th music video with him now.
Wow.
So it's, yeah, and he lives around the corner from us, so
no
it
way.
Just works.
Unreal. And like with the music videos that you've been putting out as of late, as well as your album cover, there's a real sort of anime influence there. Where's that drawn from? Because I spoke with Alfulf earlier today, as they're kind of on the same path with their with their releases, and it seems to be a real trend at the moment. Where's your stance in that?
Yeah, I guess it's just the generation that people are sort of in now, where they're in these kind of bands to play these lineups. I guess, like, you speak to most people my age or the guys in Alfulf a little bit older and stuff, so they're probably into the older animes. But you know, you play Nintendo 64, you watch Yu-Gi-Oh in the mornings or whatever, like back in the day as a kid, and I guess that kind of grows on you and you just want to be true to yourself. So that's what I kind of see with that.
Cool, man. What else can you tell us about this album?
It's 11 songs. There's heavy songs, there's soft songs, there's songs that are in the middle, there's songs that are rap songs. It's got a little bit of everything from us.
Okay, cool. And post this album release, what can we expect from Diamond Construct?
We want to tour the hell out of it and make sure everyone gets a chance to see it, you know.
And opportunities are coming up overseas?
We hope so. I mean, we've had a couple fall through and, you know, due to COVID, and then post that, just stuff always comes up. But I feel like it'll happen when we're ready.
Yeah, you know, you do have a watchful eye on you. You know, I remember watching during COVID times, like, you were on a KnotFest, like, Instagram thing. So they are watching you.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah, cool, man. So for those who couldn't make it today to Coldfest, what are they missing out on from your set?
That was absolute chaos. I've got to say, that was probably the best reaction I've seen from Brisbane, and, like, Brisbane's our favourite city. So if you didn't come to Coldfest, you're absolutely missing out, and come to the next one.
Hey, we're Vilify.
We're hanging out with Wall of Sound.
Woohoo.
Vilify, who have been here a couple of times, just wrapped up on stage. Fantastic way to open this festival. Congratulations on being the very first band to open Coldfest in Brisbane. How's it feel?
Very sweaty.
Dude, so good. It was like, I thought we were going to fuck up and we didn't.
We had some gear stuff, but, like, we didn't really fuck it that hard. My favourite was people turned up. That sometimes doesn't happen, especially, like, festival energy. Like,
correct,
it's a long day. Like, because we were 2:35. I'm normally just still having
mid-afternoon,
lunch,
you know,
like,
by that point.
That's nap time.
I'm thinking about if I can be bothered to go to a show at that point. I'm like, am I in? Am I out? No. But, yeah, that was a big room of people for so early in the afternoon. I think I was shocked by that.
Brisbane people tend to get out and about when it comes to quality bands, and there's no quality band in Australia right now outside of Vilify, who just announced their new EP, Fever Dream. When we last spoke around the time of Dread Addict, fantastic song, go check it out, you mentioned that you were putting together a whole bunch of songs which were going to go on this EP, but you've scrapped that fucking completely, made me look like a dickhead, and
was us, we admit, that was totally us.
And now you're doing a brand new EP of all new songs.
Yeah, so when we started putting it together, it didn't feel right. Dread Addict didn't sort of suit it. So it was more, it was the plan. They just kind of didn't tie in, like, concept-wise, and even, like, sonically, they didn't really, like, tie in the way we'd want them to, I guess.
I think the rest we kind of just worked on at the same time, so they felt like a bit more of a cohesive unit.
Whereas
Dread Addict was its own kind of thing floating out in the ether. And so it just didn't feel right to put it on there.
Yeah, because it was almost, we felt like that was the first song where we'd hit what we were trying to sort of sound like. It was the first time we went, oh, this is what I'd like to listen to, and it doesn't really sound like anyone else that we think. But then we made an EP of the same thing again, but too different. And we're but we are doing a vinyl release with ABBC that has all of it on it.
Yeah,
just
perfect.
Just so it still has a home in a physical format, because we still definitely love that media as well.
Yeah, the vinyl release has got the EP plus our latest three singles.
Yeah,
perfect. So you get the best of both worlds when you do that.
Yeah, we should really call it the Chris Blancato saga.
It's kind of all the songs that I guess we feel like are actually Vilify.
Yeah.
It's our sound and we're happy with it. We love it.
Yeah.
And this is what I love about Vilify. When you come across a band that is still in those infancy stages, you're still out there trying to find your place in the world, find your signature sound. Would you say you found your signature sound, or you don't want to because you're still experimenting?
A bit of both. I think we've gotten more confident with putting some stuff that's a little bit experimentally in there. Like, I've never been a big lover of sort of like rap metal stuff, but there's some real fast stuff on this, which I figured out I can do, and had a really good place for some of the tracks that didn't feel organically at what I'd normally write. So I feel like we've had time to kind of develop our confidence with that, so we're open to exploring more. So it's kind of more what we want it to sound like as a final piece, but it's definitely just part of the evolution of, I think it'll just keep changing eventually.
Yeah. And then who knows where you'll be in two EPs or an album's time, you know, because you've had those baby stages of trying to, let's try this, oh, I like that, or that didn't work for me, or as a band, you know, we can't do that because it's way too fast. Not that you would come across something like that, but I guess, you know, it gives you the option to not be pigeonholed and locked down. And I guess one of the things we've spoken about since we've been covering Vilify was you don't want to be labeled a metalcore band or a hardcore band. Yeah. You just want to be a heavy metal band from Australia because it has a wider berth than just being pigeonholed into specific genres.
Yeah, and I think we figured out like the few little things that are beginning to be sort of the little pieces that tie it together. Like
that make it us, really.
Yeah. Yeah.
Kind of like
weird little whammy bits.
Yeah.
My vocals kind of sound a bit odd compared to every other band, so it kind of like makes it all tidy.
When we write riffs and stuff, I'm like, oh yeah, that's a Vilify riff. Even if it doesn't sound like something that we've done before, it's kind of like, that we can make that work.
Yeah, like, can I twerk to it? Yeah, that's a Vilify riff.
Yeah, if you can twerk to metal, that just crosses so many more so many more levels.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it helps too because me and Amy have a pretty similar taste in music. Kind of.
You both love Every Time I Die. That's something we can chuck into the ether,
and
right?
Stat, gotta love Stat.
Yep. Yeah,
a bit of homegrown sound learning.
Yeah, so we both kind of know what works, so it's a bit easy.
And I think, like, the openness to explore a bunch of different stuff sonically has just, like, opened it so much easier. Like, this EP has almost – some songs have almost no production and they're almost like a hardcore song,
like
virtually.
Like two-step bits.
Yeah.
And then there's other bits that are probably more production-y, but I think we've found the bits that help us tie it together to make it feel like a body of work even though it's different. And that's almost like – I feel like it all being a little bit different is what makes it.
Mm-hmm. Because I mean you look at your experience in the industry, as we know, Amy, obviously you've done stuff with The Beautiful Monument, and this is like a completely new child. It's your — I don't want to say it's your brainchild because it's a communal kind of thing with yourself, with Karen as well too, but for the most part you're in control. There's no one telling you how you should sound a certain way. It all comes from you, the struggles you go through, and then when you go to the studio and put it out together, what we listen to is it's raw, authentic self without anyone else contributing to it. Is that kind of the angle that you want to see for the foreseeable future?
100%. Everyone talks about, oh, this will sound awful, but I mean it from a place of genuine. I think sometimes people get caught up in this idea of like, oh, but what was the most fan favorite song? Like, let's write more like that.
Yeah.
I think we listen to that, acknowledge that, try and find the parts of that that are what people like, so we can keep making music that people enjoy, but then how can we make this new and different again? In a way that kind of emotes with us. So even some of the new writing stuff, Danny will give me placeholder names of like where the music comes from, and I'll try and find lyrics that kind of sometimes not really nailing it, but the intention is for it comes from the same place. So we always want to feel really, really authentic, where I feel like the other band has been around for quite some time, where I feel like that band is almost driven by what people want to hear.
Yeah, the expectations.
Does that make sense? So the people want to hear certain things. They want more soaring choruses and they want more this, where with Vilify, what they want is whatever we haven't heard.
That's exactly it.
That you haven't heard yet. Yeah.
I was trying to find the best way to explain it, because my love for Vilify came from like the heavy and rawness of what you're doing. I'm not a hardcore fan per se, but I love riffs. I love breakdowns. I love songs where
I
can...
similar. Yeah, like I like... You love hardcore.
Yeah.
And I think we found that bit in the middle.
It's combining all of your tastes, all of your knowledge together, and then the end result is completely different to what other people are doing because your brains all work differently to people in the music industry, if that makes sense.
And it's super fun because I think we all respect each other enough to have a really like, okay, cool, I'll trust you on this idea. Like, even off the EP, my least favourite song ended up being my favourite. Because I was like, I'm going to trust your judgment on this and just go with it. I'm like, I don't like it. I think it's bad. And then it ended up being my favourite. And I was like, I'm really sorry.
I think it's about just trying to write songs that we like.
Yeah.
If we really like it as a collective, and like, I know I said me and Amy have similar tastes, but some of the other guys is pretty diverse music taste amongst the group, and obviously with our producer as well. So if we all like the songs and we're like, fuck yeah, this is dope, I think
then
we're
on
the
winner.
Right.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, we want to be genuine.
And you're doing it for you. You're not doing it to appease an audience or a fan base or talent scout, if you will.
Yeah. I think, like I said, I think a lot of people fall into that trap where they're like, oh, what was the popular song? Oh, make that again.
No.
Like, that's not what's going to make us happy. And if it doesn't work, then you've wasted your time. You've wasted the listener's time. You've wasted everyone's time. Like, why not just make things that least we feel genuinely connected to?
Yeah.
And if people feel that connection too, sick.
Yeah. But I feel like if you keep up with, you know, genuine music trends and like you listen to a lot of stuff, then what you like is probably what other people like too. So
yep,
kind of makes sense.
It's the good thing about this heavy music world that we're in is the fact that you can come in with a mentality of what kind of music you like, and then you gravitate towards people that like the same kind of music, and then you might be influenced by some of their influences, kind of thing. You take that on board, and then who knows, you could do like, and I say this to every single band, you could do the jazz fusion metalcore new metal riff kind of thing, which is completely different to what you normally do, but you got in and you gave it a try using that kind of influence that is bestowed upon you.
Well, like the really, really hardcore song on this EP, I started it, but I don't listen to it. It was like I'd been hanging out with you and that's what you'd been listening to, and I was like, I'm going to try that.
Is that what happened? You never told me that. You were so, I was like, this is not like you.
And I was like, yeah, go it.
Just want her to find me cool because I like
it. I could only write like 40 seconds and you had to fix the rest because I was like, was I don't know the genre enough.
Hardcore songs go for like a minute.
Yeah, that's 40 seconds. That's the she second got there. EP.
But
it's fun and we just trust each other. I think that makes it easy.
And I think that's a good thing to have in such a band that's so young and have that ability to be able to talk to each other and say what works, what doesn't. You want to go out and do something completely different because no one's done it before. The thing I love is that no one's stopping you from doing that. And every time Vilify releases a song, it's like, what's this one going to sound like? What's it going to feel like? What's the music video going to do with it? I feel like having creative control where you are in a band so early and not being misled by the dream or fascination of wanting to be signed by a label and having them dictate where you go and what happens.
Yeah, I don't know if, like, personally my, like, view on that is maybe different, but I just don't know if that's always the way forward these days. And even you can have the right way to do it. There's, like, everyone will say there's a way that you get forward and there's a way you progress, but it might not necessarily work.
Yeah.
So that's why I think it's so important to have conviction in what you're doing anyway, because, it might not go anywhere. People might not like it. But if you didn't fucking like it to start with, that's
the problem. Then why are you making music you don't like? Exactly.
So if we could put a song out and absolutely no one liked it, but all four of us were like, five, including Chris, if all five of us were like, slapped, then we're like, pfft.
Fuck whatever else thinks. They'll come around one day eventually. It's just ahead of its time.
I would rather sit every single time and feel that as opposed to, we tried to play the game, we tried to play this thing.
And have regrets because we
Maybe if we released it on the Tuesday instead of this, you're like, nah, put the fucking song out. Go play the song to the people.
Yeah.
Make them want to headbang to it and that's...
Have that connection and go from there. All right, let's look ahead because Vilify has only been around for a couple of years now. You're still finding your infancy feet in the kindergarten that is the Australian heavy music scene. Goal-wise, where do you want to see yourself in about 3 years' time? What bands would you like to see yourself touring with? And what's the one thing you would love a reaction from the fans for?
Oh, the touring with, I'd probably say some of the bands we're playing with today. Like Alpha Wolf would be my favourite.
We
fucking love
Alpha Wolf. Yeah. Who doesn't? If you don't, then there's something wrong with
you're
you.
You're a liar. There's nothing wrong with you. You're just full of lies.
They're kind of a big influence for us, but I also really like Throne.
Throne are fucking sick.
I guess like we kind of bridge that metalcore hardcore gap a little bit. Obviously Spirit Box is on that list, but that probably is never going to happen.
No, you never know. Stranger things have happened. We put it into the universe.
Yeah.
You've written how much you love Spirit Box.
I do love that one.
Courtney knows you exist, so
you're
starting that manifesting.
Yeah. But I agree. I think you're like right on the money. Those sort of bands are definitely what
gets in terms of goals, I reckon probably touring overseas and starting to just tour heaps regularly. We all love playing like live and just hanging out together and stuff. So
I feel like 90% of why we do this is to play live, which is so funny.
And
like,
hang out and just do all that shit.
Yeah, it's so kind of more why we opportunity do it, so. For that. But overseas, I think that's the big
definitely,
one.
Definitely, yeah.
Because, spoiler, never got to do it before.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, you know, New Zealand's just across the ditch. Tasmania counts if you really want to get technical.
Europe for sure.
Yeah.
That's your goal. Our longer term goal for sure.
Mm. Perfect. Well, we will get behind Vilify any which way we can to make that happen. Before we leave today, EP's coming out, 5 new songs for the rest of the world to jump on and latch on to. Australian audiences hopefully getting out and about a bit more. You need to know that Vilify, when you played that other festival that was in Australia, you drove all the way up and then you drove home and then went to work 2 hours later, Amy. So the grind's real, and the bands are out there, aren't flying in personal jets and private jets and everything like that. They need to do this with your support. So Vilify, get behind them. They're going places. Absolute pleasure. Thank you for stopping by Wall of Sound.
Thanks so much, Brownie.
This is Aaron Matz from 1056 hanging out with Wall of Sound.
G'day, I'm Ricky. I'm here at Wall of Sound. I'm with the one and only Aaron Matz from 1056. How the hell you doing, man?
It's good. That show was absolutely mental. Just trying to come back down to earth from that, yeah.
Yeah, you just played Cult Fest, the kind of second year for Alpha Wolf doing their own festival. What was it like getting invited?
Yeah, it was good. I was like, yeah, obviously we're getting invited. Yeah, we did a tour with them last year in April, and I would have been offended if we didn't get invited. So the fact that we did, I was happy about it. I'm just joking, yeah. It's really good, yeah. They were just to end like off a really good Australian tour on such a high note. It's just fucking sick.
Well, the last time we spoke, I was like, we got to get you down to Australia. And you're like, I really want to tour with Alpha Wolf. Do you remember that?
Yeah, I do. So I fucking love those guys. So, yeah, to have them invite us here and have us be a part of this is just fucking sick, yeah.
And I think it's no accident. Like, the genre crossover between you guys and Muir, like, that's no, like, accident.
Oh, it's a thing, you know. Yeah, it's definitely a thing.
It's a thing. So, look, the last time we did speak, you had released a couple of songs with 1056. The world was still discovering you. Yeah. And you were like, there's a little bit more coming out in the tank. And then you threw out the rest of the Downer EP. You said there was a, you know, We're Not a One-Trick Pony, RLS came out. Yeah. What was it like having the world see all these different sides of you?
Yeah, good. I mean, I guess, like, I know, it's kind of weird. Like, some people put us in a box really quick, you know what I mean? So, like, yeah, when we put out RLS, they're like, oh, but you're like this band. It's like, well, we're not, though, because we've only put out a couple of songs, so... Yeah, people were quick to jump to conclusions, but yeah, we really want to make a point of like getting people before they jump to conclusions about the band, you know, catching them off guard and stuff. And I really think that we did a good job with that with the last single that just came out, Plug.
We'll get there, mate. We'll get there. Take it easy. But I like the way you've actually brought it into the set where the rest of the band take a break and you come in and do RLS. I think it works really well.
I'd like it the other way around. They're all out back asleep.
Yeah. Usually it's a drum solo, now it's a vocal solo.
Yeah, I'm like, fuck.
So, like, there's a bit of inspo from Juice WRLD and that kind of thing there. Are you a bit into your hip hop and that kind
Absolutely,
of thing?
Absolutely, yeah. Big time. Really into, well, Eminem's what got me into heavy music. I think we spoke about this, didn't
Probably.
We? Yeah, there's a song called Kim on the Marshall Mathers LP, which is so violent. And I was just like, that. And that's what got me into the more violent side of music. But yeah, I'm big into the emo, you know, hip hop scene, you know, Lil Peep and Juice WRLD and all them.
Do you think you'll be bringing some more hip hop into some future 1056 material?
Yeah, definitely. Maybe in a different way, maybe not like mixing it so much, maybe just kind of keeping it separate. But I don't know, who knows? Just when Luca decides to write a song, you know what I mean?
Yeah, the creative juices get flowing, hey?
Yes.
All right, so should we get to Good Morning then?
Yes, please.
In the midst of your very first Australian tour, 1056, come out of the gate, enter 2024 and go, we're about to release our heaviest song to date. Here it is.
Should have called it G'day. I was thinking about that.
You should have. What happened, mate?
Yeah. I should have called it Vegemite Scroll. Everyone would have been fucking...
You know, our editor Brownie, who's off camera right now, he brought Vegemite to have Electric Callboy try it at a festival that they played last year.
They're German, aren't they?
Yeah.
Did they say, oh, it's not good?
No, they actually...
Well, everything that you eat.
They were very polite. They were very polite. They said it was interesting, but they liked the Tim Tam. Maybe we should have brought a Tim Tam for you.
Oh, is it those little chocolate square things?
Yeah.
We've had them on our rider for some reason every night, and I've never tried one.
Oh, well, tonight's your night, mate.
I love a Tim Tam.
Really going off track here, mate. So,
good morning, Tim Tam.
What inspired Good Morning?
Lyrically or musically?
Whatever you want to go with.
Musically, me and Luca were like, we just need to put a blast beat in there. And that's how it started. So it starts off with the blast beat and then just the lyrical content, just the normal stuff.
What I've noticed is that since the Downer Part 1, Part 2, the production has stepped up even further.
Yeah, you reckon?
Yeah, I reckon.
There's a lot of people in the comments like, oh, the production sucks.
Really?
It's either here nor there. It's like Vegemite.
nice.
Yeah, some people are like, oh, this is sick. And then there's a couple of people like, this is the worst production I've ever heard in my life.
Okay, well, I thought it was good. A step up.
Oh, I think so too.
Great. So have we got some more new music in the pipes for 24?
Yeah, we do. I mean, it's all in the bag. Well, it's not all in the bag. It's like, there's a few in the bag. But it's kind of hard being on the road and hitting deadlines and stuff. So, I mean, Luca's the guy. So he's the one who sets his own deadlines. And you can't really force an artist like that, you know, so... He just does it whenever he's ready, and we're just like, all right, cheers, mate.
And do you record in Paris?
Yeah. Everything's DIY that we do, so just me and Luca do all the stuff. Like, he tracks me, and he records everything in his bedroom. kind of on his schedule.
Crazy. Yeah. And, like, because this whole French metal scene is blowing up. Like, you guys bumped into Landmarks in Adelaide, who were on a completely different tour. And Adam, who's off camera as well, he just got back from Europe or the US, and we bumped to the Landmarks headliner, the first ever headliner in Australia.
Oh, did they do a show?
Yeah, they did, like, a just one-off show. Like,
was it good?
It was insane. Like, Australia...
I'm so happy for them, man. They're just going big everywhere.
Yeah.
They're such nice guys.
And Australia's just discovering all these Euro metal bands that kind of, like, it's slowly emerging. It's great to see.
Yeah, that was a fucking trip. Like, we'd slept, like, probably collectively 6 hours in, like, 3 days. We're just getting off the plane, just like, oh. And we look out and we just see them guys. We're like, what is
Am I dreaming?
On?
This is weird.
Yeah, and the whole tour package was there too. So they had Knopf Lane and who else is on that tour?
Era and Era. Banks Arcade.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So we were just like, straight into like excitement mode, and then
what a trip.
And then right back into
and that jet lag's coming through.
Yeah,
it's brutal. Yeah. So what's it been like playing in Australia?
Incredible. I just love this place. It's like America, but people are nicer. No, people are funnier.
Yeah.
Like, the weather's great, people are funny, everyone's really welcoming and stuff, really forthcoming, like good senses of humor. It's like England and America, like
combined. I've heard that before, actually. Napalm Death said that to me once. Fun fact.
Yeah, they're from Birmingham, which is about 40 minutes from where I'm from.
There you go.
Fun fact.
Actually, I've been meaning to ask you, what brought you to Paris?
Betraying the Martyrs.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. And 13 and a half later, I'm like, ha, ha, ha.
Yeah, so on that, so you hear triumphantly killing it in Australia. On the poster, new music, just smashing it, right? And a few weeks ago, you jumped on stage with BTM and helped them celebrate their farewell and did some guesties and stuff, obviously, which is where you started. Is it weird comparing the two, or kind of like where you started and where you are and all that?
Yeah, a little bit. I mean, I think like the whole emotional like attachment thing, I got over that when I left the band, and maybe like a year or two before even leaving the band, because I was like in this headspace where I knew I wanted to leave, so it wasn't really emotional for me, but the rest of the guys are all crying and shit, so I put some water on my face and faked it.
Yeah, nice. You're a good actor, mate. I've seen your music videos.
No, I'm just kidding. No, it was really a good time. It was an emotional, you know, time, and it was good to share the stage with those guys one last time. I mean, I really like most of them. No, I love all of them. It was a really nice time.
In episode 2 of the podcast, Aaron does a deep dive into who he hates the most, so tune in.
Yeah.
No, I won't make you do that, mate.
I could.
I've noticed that over the last year or two, you've been making mates with like a lot of the deathcore guys that are coming through the scene. Yep. Lorna Shore's Will Ramos, Taylor Barber from Left to Suffer. What I've noticed is 1056 haven't invited anyone for a guestie yet. Could we expect something like that in the pipes?
A deathcore guestie?
Yeah.
No.
No.
No, probably not.
You do your thing, and that's you, and that's it.
Yeah, I think that if we did do a guestie, we would want it to be someone like really out of pocket, like, I don't know, well, not that out of pocket, like Suicide Boys or like Ghost Mane or something, like, just something like a bit out of pocket. You know, something
yeah.
A little bit different. Like, not someone else who's going to just. I mean, no shade, but I don't want someone else who's just going to come and scream over the top of our music like I could do, you know. Maybe someone else out of a completely different genre, that would be
great. Yeah, so I'm kind of thinking like when Darko got Old Mate from Dayseeker, and it was like...
Exactly.
Clean vocals on top of some brutal, you know...
Exactly.
Okay, yeah.
If we did do it, it would be something that I'd be like, okay, I can't do this myself, and who's, you know, what's going to be kind of shocking, like... Because you've got to pay these cunts, haven't you? So.
You've been in Australia too long, mate.
Yep.
So you mentioned a couple names. So who would be like a dream to have on a track?
I would really like to have Ghost Mane on there, or someone like Scarlord, or just someone who could bring a good energy to the song without just going, or you know, whatever.
Yeah. Right. You kind of got the squeals going and everything anyway.
Yeah. Exactly. Or someone like completely different, like a female artist with a like crazy beautiful voice or something like that.
Well, you got the female mosh pits going on in your shows, mate. So
that's mental. It's been going really well.
It's going great.
Yeah. I was like, Sheila's. I've so been watching Home and Away since I was a kid, so I was like, I get to say Sheila.
Oh, mate, you're ready to move over here.
I'm ready.
So we had Downer. Is the next EP going to be called Upper, or?
I thought about it, but it's probably not the best idea.
You think it's a bit too corny?
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
I reckon you should go with it.
Yeah, all right, Upper. Upper, come in soon.
Done. Coming at you.
Cheers. How much royalties do you want?
We'll talk about money later. So last time we chatted, you were in your Paris apartment and I did, yep, got you to do this corny thing where you did gutturals for Wall of Sound and it went viral. Like the article we did together has gone absolutely viral since we did that. So because we've done that, we've started a new series since then. And you're like, oh God, what is he going to make me do now?
Do I have to go?
I think you're going to like this one. So we had Joe Badd from Fit for an Autopsy do this.
Such a legend.
And we had Tom Barber from Darko Chelsea Grin do this.
Also a legend.
And what we invite you to do is use some gutturals to sing, to guttural over an Aussie song that needs it. So I'm thinking Kylie Minogue. I'm thinking Men at Work.
A Kylie? I could do a Kylie song.
Oh, yeah? Which song are you thinking about?
I don't know. I can't remember them.
On a night like this. What else we got backstage? What a off cam.
You love Home and Away. Do the Home and Away thing.
Ooh.
How does it go again?
Closer Reach Day.
Oh, Closer Reach Day. That's the end, isn't it?
Yeah. All right, you want to do that?
I've got to scream it. Closer Reach Day. Over the way.
Aaron Matz. Aaron Matz, 1056, Wall of Sound, coming at you. Oh, mate, this has been a rush. I've really enjoyed this.
It was Home and Away.
Well, you're welcome to go again if you like.
Neighbours?
Yeah, Neighbours. You watch Neighbours as well?
Yeah.
You really are an Aussie kid.
I don't still watch them. My mum was like really into it. So.
Yeah, right. Was Australia very different this time around as compared to when you came like, what, a decade ago with BTM?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, we didn't pack out shows then, whereas we're with Amir now, who are doing really great. And yeah, I'm just experiencing it way differently than back then. I think maybe the conditions were a lot worse and I was a lot more tired, and I was just like, oh, you know, just kind of over it. But we've had a few days off and just had some time to like soak in the culture and stuff. I just fucking love it, man.
That's great.
I'd love to live here.
So when are we going to get you back?
Alpha Wolf, bring us back. I don't know.
Nah, I reckon the next one's got to be a 1056 headliner.
If we could make that happen, I'll be so proud. That would be like my family moved to, you know, I think we talked about
Yeah.
A lot of my family live here and I've seen a lot of them on this tour, so. Yeah, I think it would just mean a lot to me to do a headliner here.
All right, well,
stick around.
Well, we'll never leave. We'll get all our people to talk to your people and make it happen, eh?
Please.
Out of line, let's go.
Let's go, man.
Sounds good. Well, Aaron, thanks for taking the time to chat with us here at Wall of Sound. Big fan, big love. Whoa. Thank you, my man. That's it. Mic drop moment. Whoa! You got to buy us a new mic now.
We're Alpha Wolf.
And we're chatting with Wall of Sound.
How you doing, fellas?
Lovely.
Good, mate. Lovely. Good, mate. Thank you.
So we're here at the second edition of Cult Fest in Brisbane. How are you guys feeling about it?
Hot and sweaty. Besides that, really good. Yeah, it's fun to be in a different city doing it. I feel like Melbourne was like the little test of how it's all going to work, and now we're in Brisbane, and it's dope. It's what like our second home, you know?
What is it about Brisbane that's made you decide to bring the festival to this city?
Maybe Full Tilt.
Yeah, we did play Full Tilt in the same room, and it was probably one of the craziest Australian shows we've ever played. Mitch lives here, so it's easy for him. That's one point. Also, yeah, Brisbane's been like our second home ever since we started touring. Like outside of Melbourne, it was always like everyone would look forward to the Brisbane shows. They've always been like on par with Melbourne, and it just made sense to be like, Melbourne did well, Brisbane will turn out. So
yeah, well, looking at the lineup, it is massive. You know, we've got some big names like Amua, Crossfaith, Ocean Grove, so on. What is it about these bands that made you decide, hey, I want you on my festival?
All right, well, Amua, sick, regardless. Our first overseas tour was with them. They're a massive influence to us, so they were like a bucket list to kind of get to play with us over here. 1056, we toured with overseas and they were killer, so it was obviously had to come over. Pale Ask and Crossface, friends we already have that are smashing it in bands. So
I feel like it's all the bands that we play with or get to see overseas that we kind of, you know, we're at this level now that we can actually bring them over so that Australian people can see them. So it's kind of cool that we get to see all these bands and then go, hey, these bands are all really cool. A lot of them don't get to come to Australia often. Let's just bring them all over on one big lineup so everyone gets to see them in one cool sitting and then get to see us.
Oh, amazing. Yeah. Well, all those that missed out, who couldn't make it for whatever reason, they're at home right now.
Idiots. Yeah. In their aircon.
What are they missing out on by staying home instead of coming to Coldfest?
A dope ass show. I mean,
big ass day of metal.
Big ass day
of good vibes.
Metal. Yeah, it's like, you know, I feel like it's a cool like community vibe. It's not like, it's no like massive fest. It's no like, you know, Soundwave or Good Things or, you know, but
not
it's,
yet anyway.
No, yeah, you know, we're building it. But I feel like it's cool, like little community vibe of just like, you know, we've been playing shows for a while, and it just feels like, you know, everyone over the years gets to come to one show, and people travel for it, which is cool. Like that was kind of the hope and the intention, and people have been. So it's cool. Like it's like a little Australian community that just get to come to Brisbane to see like a just a fun day of show.
Yeah, absolutely. Know? Well, like to me, the festival is kind of reminiscent of say like Impericon in Europe. You're at this stage now where you can bring these big names over here, but also you've kind of been taken on the world as your own. Like I saw you guys play with Motionless and White in Seattle.
Oh, you saw that?
Bro, I was there, bro.
That was a good show.
Yeah, it was sick. What was it like debuting Bring Back the Noise to a live audience, and has that kind of taken over Akudama as a fan favourite?
Definitely not. Definitely not a fan favourite.
I don't think anything's touching that song for a minute. It was weird. It was fun. I feel like we got to like, I mean, how people write and record songs now, we actually like didn't get to play in the same room together until that tour, so now it just feels like another like tight song to play live. But it was like, I think the reason we decided to do it was, you know, all these new fans were going to be there, of, you know, all the Motionless fans are just so dedicated and crazy that we were like, they might not know us anyway, like let's throw a new song at them and like see how it goes over here. I don't know about it taking over Akudama yet, but you know, maybe today is the day.
Could be. So I did want to like kind of have a deep dive into your album Half Living Things, coming out on April 5th. Tell me about the album.
Heavy. It's heavy. It's good. It's cool. It's like A Quiet Place to Die, but like a little bit further on, I guess, what we've been continuing to do.
Yeah, I feel like it's a cool continuation. Like, we're never going to write the same album twice, but at the same time, I don't think it's like a massive curveball or anything from it. Like, I feel like we'd learned what works really well on that album. And, you know, we kind of catered this one for the live show even more, just like fun moments. And like, we're kind of dickheads on stage a lot of the time these days, so I mean, I think it's just going to be really fun to play live, and yeah, just not take yourself to, you know, there's serious songs on there for sure, there's a few curveballs I think on there, but I think as a whole it's just going to be like a really fun record to play live, and that was kind of aim with it.
Well, speaking of curveballs, you know, the obvious one, Ice-T, I mean, the collaboration that nobody saw coming, how did that come about, and what was he like as a seasoned musician? What's he like to work with?
He was cool, man. He's just such a cool guy. Yeah, we just wanted someone kind of like, I don't know, we all have this thing of like wanting someone kind of unattainable to get on a song. Like we have, I think we have a lot of people that we could reach out to and they would do it and it would have been a lot easier to get. But, you know, we wanted someone that like when you see it, you kind of just go, holy fuck, how did they do that? And I think that's exactly what we did. He was a great guy. Like getting the song back off him, it was like we didn't give him any references or anything for the song. We just, you know, sent our song with, you know, the lyrics and just said, here's what it's about. Like, just do your thing. And then he sent that back. I think we all just pissed ourselves laughing of how good it was fucking perfect.
Yeah.
And yeah, getting to meet him and do the video with him, like he's such a humble guy and he's just like, he's such a chiller. Like
Yeah, he's a road dog.
He told stories of like touring the 90s with all these cool bands, and you know, he was just talking about touring, and it was like relatable to a guy that, you know, of his stature. It was pretty crazy.
Looking at the song titles, there are a few references to different things in there, and I wanted to talk about, is it Mangekyo? Is that how you say it?
Mangekyo.
Okay. Yeah, close. What struck me initially was that's Lockie's Instagram name. Is that kind of like a crossover that was kind of planned or just kind of popped up? And what's like the meaning there?
I don't think it was planned.
I think it's like an anime character that he really likes and that obviously put it as his name because he likes it, and then it fit the story as well of the lyrics or whatever. So
We like to have song titles that stand out too, not just like
weird one-name words.
Yeah.
Are working well for us.
Yeah, so seems to work well at the moment. But yeah, not your typical song titles, and like, you know, you kind of want to hear a song title and go, oh, that's why X band, you know. You don't want to have a too generic of a song title that you could, you know, 30 bands have the same song name. So it's just, yeah, I think it's a bit of an anime throwback and also just something a bit more like original that like, yeah, people can tie that to us. And I think it was also cool that you see this title and you're like, hey, isn't that dude's Instagram name?
So track 4, Mitch Sesson drums. Scotty Simpson, number 2.
Are you guys all anime fans or just really lucky?
There's like three of us.
Okay. Yeah.
Us two aren't.
Yeah, us two are the non... I mean, it's not like we don't like it. The other guys are just literally obsessed.
Yeah, okay. Scotty, you work with like heaps of local bands, producing music, and the results have always been phenomenal. Whereas your friend Lance, who you work closely with, also does the same thing. And you both kind of on a trend where you're just taking off and you're kind of, you know, really creating your own brand for really taking the charge with Australian metalcore and taking it to that next level. Where do you see this going?
I mean, it's honestly kind of harder the more Alpha Wolf are busy for me to do stuff like that. I would love to do both, but it's like, I've seen a few people talk about it and it's like, you kind of got to, when you get to a level, it's like, you got to kind of pick one or the other. Mm. And it's just like the level Alpha Wolf's at, it's like, that's the priority. So, I mean, yeah, for me, it's like, I won't be producing as much anymore, but it just means the stuff I do produce has to be, one, it has to be good, and also I'm only going to do, like, really cool shit that comes along now. But Lance, on the other hand, he's just a fucking, he's a weapon.
He's a weapon, yeah. So
the guy.
He's the guy. So, I mean, he'll be working on a lot more records than I am these days. Yeah, we love working with him. He's been our guy forever. Mm. I think he has mixed every single Alpha Wolf song forever, I think. Maybe not the first stuff. Yeah, he's like our secret, not secret, but six-member kind of guy.
Mm.
He's like the guy we'll go to with, you know, everyone has a different opinion on this. What do you think? And he'll just be like, stop being stupid. And we're like, okay, fair enough. he's like the roadblock, you know? So yeah, we love having him around. He's like our little six member.
Amazing, man. Yeah. A Quiet Place to Die hit number 6 in the ARIA charts. What's your prediction for Half Living Things?
Number one. Hey, isn't Kanye releasing an album that same week? Who is? Somebody else is fucking doing
Kanye
that.
Who? What, Alpha Wolf?
Never heard of him.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's so hard to tell, man. I mean, we obviously would love a number one, but I'll conservatively say number 3. But secretly, I want number one.
I'm hoping for top 5 again.
Top 5, dude, it's so hard with that stuff. It's like, depending like what crazy big pop stars putting a record out that week, it's like, you know, you set these dates out like so far in advance and just hope that, you know, it just works out. But I don't think it's like a determining factor of how well the record's going to go. It's like, if that happens, cool, but it's not like, you know, the world's going to crumble if we don't get a high fucking ARIA chart thing.
Yeah.
In the grand scheme of things.
It would be cool, mate.
It would be pretty. I want ARIA in my house.
I want it.
But yeah, I don't think it's like it's such a determining factor these days as maybe it was like 10, 20 years ago, you know, when people actually sold records. We just want people to hear the songs and like it, you know. Just go on Spotify, listen for fucking free. I mean, if you want to buy it, fucking dope. Get us an ARIA, because we kind of want an ARIA.
Just buy it in the first week, please.
Please, the first week. But it's not the end of the world, man. It's cool.
Cool. Well, there you have it. Alf Wolf at Cult Fest 2024. New album, Half Living Things, out April 5. Get it, pre-order it, stream it. Do what you need. Boys, it's been an absolute pleasure. I'll catch you next time.
Thank you.
Thank you, man.
See you guys next time.
And that brings us to the end of the podcast. As you can tell, it's been a long and strenuous day here in Brisbane. Cult Fest made its way up to Queensland, and who knows where it's going to be next year. Boys, standouts for the day. Ricky?
Man, to see 1056 do their debut Australian tour is absolutely wild, but to have Emua back after so many years since pre-COVID, unbelievable.
Not going to lie, I loved seeing the amount of people they got in there for Vilify. They are one of my favourite bands who are going to do some amazing things in this scene. So all of those people that rocked up early here at Cult Fest, fantastic. If you missed it, uppercut yourself. Adam?
You can never look past the headliners. They're always impressive, Alpha Wolf. I mean, they always pull it together. But, you know, this time around, Diamond Construct really takes the cake for me. I mean,
they're on the rise, aren't they?
Yeah, aren't they just? So, yeah, they take the cake for me today.
Awesome. Well, stick around for all the action from Cult Fest and stay tuned. Alpha Wolf's brand new album coming out in April. It is going to be sick. But from us at Wall of Sound on the ground at Cult Fest, we are signing out. I'm Brownie.
I'm Ricky.
I'm Adam.
And this is Wall of Sound. Wall of Sound!